Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
On a Sunday afternoon. We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks for hanging around with us today. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. I'm excited about having Lisa Johnson on the show, ladies and gentlemen. She's the co-author, along with Andrea Learned, of a book that I'm really getting into a little bit here. It's called Don't Think Pink, What Really Makes Women Buy. Lisa is an award-winning marketer. She's a speaker, a trainer, and she's done groundbreaking research on sporting goods, financial services, and women's health fields. And as I said, she's the author of Don't Think Pink. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Jim.
It's good to have you here. And Lisa, first I've got to make sure that you got a good sense of humor, because if you do, we can have some fun with this.
Oh, I'm there with you, Jim.
Are you
Go
there?
For it.
Okay, good. I appreciate that. All right. I really like what you're saying here, because I think what we need to do to start with, Lisa, is to set this whole thing up. Tell us what the magnitude of the purchasing power of women is in America today. What is it?
Well, you know, a lot of people have heard the stat that women purchase 80% of all consumer goods. And what's fascinating about that is that has been true for quite a while, but people are just really waking up to that. What that would mean is they write 8 out of 10 checks. But I think the other thing that's important to know is this is not like a bleep in the radar. This is not a stat that's going away. Women's not only earning power, but spending power is going to continue to grow. For example, by 2010, women will hold in their hands 2/3 of all private wealth.
Wow.
And that is dramatic. And so what we have is, this is important for business owners now, but it's going to become increasingly important to understand what makes women buy.
Well, I saw a stat in your book that said women spend $2 trillion in the consumer market every year.
And
if you understand that that is 1/5, that's 20% of the national GDP. The U.S. GDP is $10.3 trillion. And women spending, that's all production. Women spend 1/5 of that. That's a pretty massive number, isn't it?
And I'll tell you, we picked the most conservative number out there. Very reputable magazines and other sources have said up to $6 trillion. I don't even know if that is a good number to use, but we picked the most conservative spending number, which is $2 trillion. So people can feel really confident about that very large number.
Well, you know, you were talking about how the fact that all this that we're talking about, nothing has changed in the last several years. I remember probably 16, 17 years ago, I was working on Madison Avenue with a publishing firm, and I didn't understand this. I was pretty naive about this myself, and I was pitching a sports angle and to a company that it was a men's sports angle to a company that sold condiments, ketchup and the like.
Right.
And they educated me real quick. And of course, I felt like a real dummy when they told me, they said, you know, who buys your books, men or women? I said, men. Who buys your magazines? I said, men. They said, well, men don't buy ketchup. Women buy ketchup. Well, guess what? And of course, you know what that meant. Meeting over.
Yeah, exactly.
and the other thing I found out while I was doing that, and that was back in the 80s, was that women buy almost all of men's underwear. Do you know that?
Oh, you know what? Yes. In fact, it's true, too. Prescriptions, even riding lawnmowers. Women are the majority purchasers of riding lawnmowers.
Really?
One company put it at 80% of their consumers for riding lawnmowers were women. It's surprising categories, consumer electronics, things that are typically male. Part of it is women are functioning as the purchasing agent for the home.
Mm-hmm.
They might not be
and the business and the businesses.
Oh, absolutely.
And the small, especially the small businesses.
And things like insurance as well for the businesses, as well as health plans.
Right.
Often they're the filter through which all these decisions are made. And even if they don't make a lot of times they're making the final decision, but they're also, in many cases, if they're not, they're the ones doing the research and narrowing the choices.
And you know,
so
Lisa, years ago, 25, 30 years ago, when I was selling for Xerox and doing things like that in the marketplace, mm-hmm. I knew back then that the president might be a guy, but the decision maker for so many things was the secretary. or his or his executive assistant.
Absolutely.
You know, we knew that. So if that was the case in those days, why has it taken the marketplace so long to come around to understanding this?
See, I think that's a really important question. And one thing we need to look at is, like what you just said, we got to build on that. Women were wielding some power back then that was important, you know, the secretary to that major buyer. But what happened in the 60s and 70s, women entered the marketplace in the workforce in large numbers. And not only just changed their earning power, but it began to change their spending power, how they were operating within the marketplace. And so then we've had this newer generation come after them that began to take on more executive positions. They were really capitalizing on the kind of the groundbreaking work of that earlier generation. At this point, women in their early 20s, they are the majority in not only undergrad, but all the professional schools, doctor, lawyer, but also they hold more executive positions than their male peers. What we've had is because of women's role in the workforce, it's really flipped, not just how they're operating in businesses, but in their homes.
Well, you know, you mentioned earning power. That's the number one point in your when you identify the different things that we need to be paying attention to when we're marketing to women. That's the number one point that you make is that we have to understand her earning power.
And it's huge. And I think too, when you're looking at small business owners, you guys have probably done a lot of shows on how women are, starting businesses.
Absolutely, at a faster rate than anybody.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and I think. I think Time Magazine just did a thing a couple months ago, maybe it was a while ago, on how the number of women that are the majority earners in their home.
Right.
I think too, the marketplace has changed, and even with the internet, with the type of web thinking, women really have a different style of leadership, a different style of business style, and it's right now with the way the marketplace has changed, it's really congruent with how women lead and think, and so they have an advantage right now, and I think it's showing up in the number of executive positions they're holding.
Well, I think you're right, and another point that you make here that we kind of haven't touched on yet is what you call reframing your approach to marketing to women. That's got to be the wake up call for any business, especially a small business, is to reframe that. Well, what are we going to do? We're going to take a break in a second, and when we come back, I want you to talk to us about how to reframe our approach, and then I'm going to ask you the big question: how to get inside her mind.
Okay.
And that's going to be the biggie right there, folks. Folks, I still say that the genius of the world, of the marketplace, is the person that created QVC. And when we come back to these messages, I'm going to tell you why I think that. 20 after, we'll be right back with our new friend, Lisa Johnson. She's the author of Don't Think Pink. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our new friend, Lisa Johnson. And she's the author, co-author, along with Andrea Learned, the book, Don't Think Pink. And Lisa, why don't you tell us where your book's available?
You know, it's in all the major bookstores and all the major online bookstores as well, Amazon, Borders, Barnes & Noble.
Right.
We'd love you to go out and get it. I think it gets some new information that's not already out there around marketing to women.
Well, and not only that, folks, not only will you learn some things, but you'll enjoy reading it. It's an enjoyable book to read as well, not besides the good information. And if you got a website you want to give us, Lisa?
Yeah, reachwomen.com, www.reachwomen.com.
Women.com. What will we find when we get there?
We have a pretty extensive archive of articles on the site, too, if you're looking for more information on marketing to women.
Good. Lisa, I've been saying for years that the person who invented QVC is a genius. Because he gave women an opportunity to watch television, shop, buy stuff, use a credit card, and then call in and talk about it. Is that the hat trick or what?
Isn't it? It's like the rich multi-sensory shopping experience.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, I think you're totally right.
I watch it for entertainment sometimes.
Oh, it's so true, and I think one thing that's so true is, like, you know, when you go shopping with a friend, you want agreement on how good it is. You get that instant satisfaction.
Now, wait a minute. When women go to shopping, you want
exactly.
agreement.
Exactly.
Not men.
We always talk about men are running out of that mall.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They're running. Right. They're running out of the mall when women are running in the mall, right?
Totally.
Okay. How do we?
But,
Go ahead.
Oh, I think what's interesting is they were talking about how initially online men and women would shop swapping styles. But right now, I've just read some more recent research that was saying that now both men and women are starting to do that same type of spending time online and just kind of trolling the online mall like they did online. Men are kind of joining women in that shopping style.
Well, you know, that's an important point, the online part of this whole thing, Lisa, because a lot of people think that they don't need a website because they don't have something typically that you would sell online. And there are fewer and fewer of those things that fit that category anymore. But right. The thing is, what people don't realize, and this is totally lost on a lot of people, is how much e-shopping is done online.
Oh, it's huge, and women right now are leading the e-shopping curve. The other thing
who would have thought
realized,
that, right?
Oh,
where did that
come
from? Right out of left field, right?
Well, I think the other thing to really look at is we have so many different generations of women that have had very different experiences, and mostly in the workplace, and that's really shaped how they're operating. But if you look at Gen X and Gen Y, which is basically 40 years and under women, their expectations of your brand and the seamlessness of your online and offline efforts is very high. And so it's not like you might have been able to get away with it when the internet was new or, you know, when you have a generation that were not as fluent online. Mm-hmm. But I think right now there's just no excuses. People have got to make their on and offline absolutely seamless, business expected.
There was a time when being there was enough. That day is gone.
Absolutely.
Today, you got to not only be there, you got to have your cornflakes together, don't you?
You do, and I think everybody's expectation, no matter what your age, what their age has risen. And so I think, you know, we're all getting in line accordingly.
Mm-hmm. All right, here's the big question, Lisa.
Yes.
Help me. How? And this is going to help me on so many different levels, Lisa. How do I get inside her mind?
Getting inside. We were talking earlier, it might be a scary place to be.
This is going to help me on so many levels. Go ahead.
Well, I think the one thing to acknowledge is a lot of times when people have gone and tried to reach women, they have gone at her with a really surface, kind of to feminize a product. Instead of getting inside her mind, what a lot of companies have done initially is done a pink product line, and what we call a pink effort, which is basically just scratching the surface of what women want. And often missing the boat altogether. That would be the opposite of getting inside her mind is a pink campaign.
Isn't it a little patronizing, too?
It is.
Isn't it a little gratuitous? And what other words can I think of? I don't know. Maybe, but, you know, sometimes it works.
You know what's interesting is I think it hardly ever works with Gen X and Gen Y. I mean, hardly uh-huh. ever. But there was a generation that appreciated, because there weren't products for them, that appreciated
right.
the idea that somebody was actually going to make, you know, some golf clubs.
Well, it was one of the ways they differentiated their products from the guys' products.
Right, and
you painted it pink.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I mean, we both were talking about coming from the sporting goods industry,
yeah.
And I remember back in '91, the industry was just kind of waking up to women, and everything was just shorter, smaller, and in a floral bag or a pink bag. And I think the difference between that's what we call a pink campaign. Now, you could make golf clubs for women, but what if you weighted them for her swing? What if the grip really fit her hand?
Mm-hmm.
You really created them for her needs. That's getting inside her mind. How is she using it differently? What are her needs different because of her body shape or her size?
And, you know,
that is when you solve her problems.
You know, Lisa, when you do that, whether it's golf clubs or a room on the house, when you do that, knowing that women spend 80% of the consumer money that's being spent, you just won't be able to fight them off. I mean, the women customers will be all over you, won't they?
It is such a competitive advantage to get inside our minds. This is what that means. Almost in every industry, there are unmet needs. There are things that are driving mm-hmm. your women customers crazy, whether it's your redundant forms, your long lines, your hours.
Right.
Whether it's the way your product's designed, there is usually
and saving them time.
That's solve them.
Saving time has got to be a big deal. I want you to come back another day and let's talk some more about this. Will you do that?
I'll do it. Thanks so much, Jim.
We had a lot of fun. Lisa Johnson, ladies and gentlemen, the co-author of Don't Think Pink. Folks, you need this book. I think it might be an important key to your success in the future. Quick break, 29 after. I'll be right back with Leslie Kossoff. Stay with us.
In Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.